The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public.
I came to I play.
To play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.
Everybody, happy Monday night, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, your number one digital audio show of its kind that is live, that goes to podcasts, that talks to food, and talks to some of the coolest chefs in the entire country right here live on a Monday night. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're just now getting off of work. Maybe you're running inside to do a radio show because you're running home late from work because traffic was just a bitch getting home. You know, any way, shape, or form, your boy is here for you. My name is Chef Plum. That's right. I am a father. I am a dude who is having beverages. But most importantly, I am a professional chef, as my friend Colt Cabana would say. And in that, well, he's not a professional chef, he's a professional wrestler. But what that does, folks, and what that does is it gives me carte blanche to call myself an expert in this profession after almost 20 years. And what else makes me an expert? I have something called a microphone. That's right, a microphone. That, too, makes me an expert. What's happening, everybody? I hope you guys had all a great week. I hope you enjoyed the show last week from the New York Hot Sauce Expo judging of the Screaming Mimi Awards. I got a little confession to make about that show. I pre-recorded it. That's right. I pre-recorded that show because I was actually on this crazy thing called a vacation. I'm doing air quotes, a vacation last week. Much needed to hang out with my family and my girls. And I don't talk about it much here live, but I have three children. So we were down at the beach hanging out. Great times, much needed. Now we're back swinging the ball, getting crazy. We're calling in the heavy hitters for the first night back, quote, quote, live. Tonight on this very program. That's right, program. We're not a program. We are a program. We have some pretty cool stories, some pretty great chefs on. I've got my friend. Chef Jeff Ferrazzi coming on. He is the founder, one of the founders of the JK Collection. And let me tell you why it's interesting to talk to Chef Jeff. Not only does his name rhyme, but he does a lot of work out in the Hamptons. For those who don't know, the Hamptons are a very, very high-end, hoity-toity area of New York. Beautiful area. It's out on Long Island. It's the east end of Long Island. And it's a very cool spot, a lot of vacation spot, a lot of the a lot of actors, celebrity types, they all hang out there. So Jeff he does a lot of work out there. So he's going to be on the show tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about, how to prepare for stuff like that, how to work with celebrities, how to work with high-end clientele when it comes to that. I'm sure we'll hear some horror stories and probably some great stories as well. And, of course, tonight, it's been on social media. It's been everywhere. We got Chef Kevin Levine coming on. Everybody knows my man Chef Scatori's. Coming on Instagram. We had a conversation this afternoon. I don't think I could talk about a nicer guy, just a more positive guy. And, I'm going to save some of my stories for that when we get him on. He'll be on a little bit later on the show. So we may go a little bit long tonight, but that's fine. Who cares? That's what we're going to do. You know why it's okay? Because I have a microphone and I'm an expert. That's why we're going to go long, because I can do that sort of stuff. So, how's everybody doing? I'm doing pretty well after having a vacation, a much-needed vacay. A lot of stuff's going on with me, as it's kind of duly noted. We're going to be hosting a show called Lounge. I have another big, big project that looks like it's going to happen. So the whole point, Chef, why are you telling me this? I knew. I'm glad you asked. Here's why I'm telling you this. You can see them waving across. And when I say waving across at me, it's because I have a mirror in front of me in the bar, and I'm nodding and waving. So it's like me, but I act like I'm waving at somebody in a booth. Here's the good thing, all these projects. So what I'm doing with that is I am actually, hold on to your seat, strap in, get a seatbelt. I am not drinking beer. I am cutting back on the beer because here's the problem with beer. I love beer. I have a weird affection for beer. It's a tough thing for me because I can't just drink one beer. I'll drink nine beers. And as we all know, you know, a beer that I might like, or whether that's duly noted on this program, probably has 450 calories in it. And so you do the math, 10 greater than one, lower. That's enough calories for four people. And I'm doing it in one sitting here of a radio show. So, yeah, that's why we got to stop doing that. So currently, at the moment, now, does that mean I'm not having a cocktail? Of course not. I just got off work. I got to have a cocktail. I am currently having a little bit of rum with some lime. What are we drinking? Lime seltzer water. And I tell you, to be honest with you, it's a pretty tasty beverage. It's very refreshing. I'm kind of down with it. Maybe I'll get into the cocktail thing. I guess with hosting the lounge, I probably should get into doing more cocktails. But I'm digging this. Let me take a big sip right now. It's a great drink. So before I left to go on vacation, I have a new private client I'm working with. And it was my client's birthday. And one of the things that ended up happening was I was making a great, delicious clam dish with beer. And I went downstairs to use their tap to take some beer out of said tap or keg and make this clam dish with it. But the keg handle snapped in my hand. That's not the bad part. Not that that's not bad enough when you're at a client's house and you break something. But I looked down, and I guess the remnant shards on the dispenser had actually been very, very sharp and had sliced in to where my pinky connects to my hand. Very deep. Very, very. It's always bad when you can lift up the skin flap and you see white. That's not good. And then it just proceeded to just bleed everywhere. I still had about a half an hour's worth of prep to do. And when you're a private chef, there's nobody else. Like, the show has to go on. There's no in between. And the last thing you want is to let your client know that's happening. Fortunately, she does not listen to this program. I have not alerted her that I do this program. Although she did just recently follow me on Instagram this afternoon, so maybe she'll see it there. Nonetheless, it was quite a mess. And so I want to talk about that tonight a little bit with our guests. What do you do when that happens? You know, you can't – it's not like you can just go to the hospital. It's not like, you know, you have a – I mean, you know, we all get cuts and bandages and cover them and take care of it, a glove, a bandage, good to go. This was – this son of a bitch didn't stop bleeding until about 10 o'clock at night. I ended up wrapping it with a cold, wet paper towel around and then rubber banding it very tight, almost kind of, you know, try to tourniquet a little bit just to stop it so I could get through. And I'm basically working one-handed. Oh, and by the way, what was I serving that night? Yeah, lobster that I had to take out of the shell for them. Yeah, it went really well for me. Very, very funny. So I'm curious as to what happens. My client obviously didn't know. We kept it very low-key. She's like, oh, you okay? I'm like, of course, totally fine. Nothing's wrong. Everything's great. But I want to talk especially to Chef Jeff about what do you do with these things when that happens? How do you handle that? Obviously, you try hard not to have these things happen. But when they do, how do you handle it? What do you do? Like, do you let the client know? Do you try to keep it quiet? Like, what's the best way to deal with that sort of situation? In my brain, it's I've always said it's always great for people to enjoy the show. They don't need to know how the show is made. Not everybody needs to be backstage and that sort of stuff. So maybe he'll agree with me on that accord. But like I said, it's just one of those things where I don't think everyone needs to know what's going on. So I try to keep it quiet when we're doing it, in my opinion. That's what I try to do. I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do, but that's what I do. So hopefully, I hope, because that's kind of how I look at it. Anyway, so I can't wait to find out what these guys think. I'm checking my and my headphones and making sure everything's coming out right. Things are working appropriately. So it's going to be a fun show tonight, man. I'm looking forward to talking to these guys. Got a lot of questions for Chef Scatori, my man Kevin, and, of course, got a lot of questions for my buddy, Chef Jeff. It's going to be a lot of fun talking to him. And I'm going to laugh because saying his name like that is going to really make me laugh a lot. I mean, maybe I should stop doing that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe not. So check it out, everybody. I'm going to take a quick little breather. I'm going to take a sip of my beverage of choice that's sitting in front of me right now. And we're going to come right back and talk to my man, one of the co-founders of the JK Collection. Chef Jeff Perotti is going to be on the show. We're going to talk a lot about what I was just talking about and working out in the Hamptons. You're checking out the number one digital audio food broadcast that is live on Monday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, and any place else you find your digital audio entertainment. Be right back, guys. Hang tight. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for a smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott.
Oh, baby. Mm. Baby, I eat this shit from right out. I'm dedicated to all the pretty girls. Pretty girls. Pretty girls. Pretty girls.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I tell you what, I'm not doing it for all the pretty girls. I'm doing it for all the chefs out there and everyone that's out there. Check it out. You got some busted work shoes. You got some shoes that maybe you're walking around the street going into work. They got holes in the bottom of it. Once somebody starts mopping the floor, or maybe you're mopping the floor, water gets in them bitches. Let me tell you something. Nothing drives me crazier than having wet feet, especially at work. And here's what we're going to do for you. Because, listen, new pairs of shoes are expensive. I completely agree. Here's what we're going to do for you. My good friends over at Shoes for Crews have got a great deal going on right now. They have actually given me a fantastic pair of shoes to give away. All you're going to do is post a picture of your shoes on Instagram and use the hashtag Plum New Shoes. That's hashtag Plum New Shoes. What I'm going to do next week is we're going to announce a winner. What you're going to get is a promo code to go to shoesforcrews.com. Pick out any pair you want. It doesn't matter if they're $30, if they're $140. My sous chef just got a brand new pair. He's loving them. They're awesome. I just got myself a brand new pair, and these things are the jam. You're not going to slip. They're waterproof, and they're incredibly comfortable because these guys understand what it means to stand on your feet for 18 hours, 12 hours. It doesn't matter. Doctors, chefs, all kinds. They got shoes for you over at shoesforcrews.com. So all you got to do, take a picture of your busted shoes. Put it up on Instagram with the hashtag PlumNewShoes, and if we pick you out on Monday night, when we announce the winner, you're going to get hit up with a brand new pair of shoes. My friends over at Shoes for Crews. Any of your choice, you can send a promo code. It's pretty badass. It's a great deal. We've had a lot of great winners so far, and we're going to have a few more. So check it out. Post a picture of your shoes up on Instagram, Twitter, any kind of social media you want to use. Use the hashtag Plum New Shoes. That's PLUM New Shoes, and we'll pick a winner, and it's going to be awesome. So check them out there. Post your picture and get yourself a brand new pair of Fly Kicks. ProPlayerInsiders.com brings a unique behind-the-scenes look at the lives and lifestyles of the players of the National Football League with news, analysis, interviews, coverage of community events, and featured contributions from current and former NFL players and their families. Hey, and let's not forget chefs like myself are also on there. Be sure to bookmark ProPlayerInsiders.com and also find them on Facebook and on the Twitter at PlayerInsiders. ProPlayerInsiders, the true voice of the players.
Tribeca, right next to the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that bad style.
Yeah, that's right, coming back live right now. Some spots took a little more time than I wanted them to, but that's okay because I ran the show a little late tonight. You know, this is an appropriate song, I think, for my next guest coming in here. You know, this man right here is working hard out in New York, doing his thing, whether it's out in Hampton, out in the city. You know, he's making names, man. So he's out there making a name for himself. My man, Chef Jeff Barazzi. Chef, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. Thank you very much, Plum. Thank you very much. I'm flattered to be on the show. Really
Dude,
appreciate
I gotta,
it.
I gotta play Empire State of Mind for you, man. That's what I think whenever I talk to you.
I'm jamming.
You know?
I'm down in the dungeon dancing. It's great.
Well, look, can you Periscope that shit? I'd like to check that out.
I don't Periscope. I'm old, bro.
So, brother, what's going on, man? I mean, we're getting ready to be a crazy season for you and everything. So what's going on,
yeah,
man? About what you do?
I meet private chefs, or I meet chefs that are looking to get into the private field. I help vet them. I help kind of set them up if they need a little coaching, and try to get them into positions where they're not just matched on cuisine, but they're also matched on personality, because I really look to help build kind of like long-term relationships, not only with the chefs myself, but with the clients, you know, for them to kind of...
You know, in the private sector, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, if you're a chef in the business, you know, and you're looking at being a private chef, you're probably a pretty good cook to begin with, because you wouldn't be trying it if you weren't, unless you're absolutely just completely fucking clueless. But I think it's really important.
You'd be surprised.
Really? That's funny. But I think what you said there is really important, personality. I think that... you know, you could meet somebody, and I've done this. I've had a client who loved me to death. I couldn't stand them, so I couldn't take them. Like, you can't work like that.
Yeah. That's kind of why I formed the company. You know, when I met my partner, we were talking about just service and what I was doing, just kind of word of mouth, and I was just kind of burnt out on exactly that, like having friends of mine call me and being like, what did you do to me? Like, I don't want to be here. And or like some lady calling me and being like, I think your friend's a little drunk, you know, or something, you know, something crazy. And I'm just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And then we started talking about it, and I kind of just came up with the whole system with, you know, the behavioral assessment and, you know, the application and kind of all the interviews, and just kind of just get to know the chef, really get to know them, you know, not just on a, you know, I try to become friends with everybody. You know, I'm a pretty easy person to talk to. So when I talk to the guys and the girls that I meet, I just really try to connect with them and really learn about who they are and what they can take and what they can put up with and what they can't put up with, and just kind of get a good read of them, so that way when I read a client, I can really match them just on where I think they're going to really flourish, not just where, you know, they're going to get paid. Because, I mean, everyone wants to get paid at the end of the day, but at the same time, it's, you know, I think it's important to enjoy it, you know, enjoy what you're doing. Really put that in the food, too, because if you're miserable... It's really hard to cook really great food, I think, personally.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You have to love it and be into it, especially as a private chef, because you don't, you know, a lot of times you don't have a, you know, a crew backing you up. It's just you, and you have to, hate, you know what I mean? And you're hating life. You don't want anything to do with it. And so I think that's, I think you're absolutely right with that. But, you know, I think, I keep saying I think. Can I stop saying I think? I feel like an asshole. So I catch myself doing that stuff now. I think in our business, I'm starting to see more of a growth of it, and I think you're starting to see more of a growth of it. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong or tell me your opinion on this, but with the way that people are becoming more food smart, as I like to put it, like with just people caring more about where the food comes from, understanding more about where it comes from, you'll find people who have the means now, or maybe, you know, who you wouldn't think have the means to do this, but who decide to bring a private chef into their lives maybe once a week, sometimes full-time, just whatever, in some capacity to try to get that good home-cooked food. Are you seeing more of that?
Yeah. In fact, that's a lot of the times that's what we're trying to do is, you know, we're trying to really kind of educate our client on how to kind of better take advantage of the Hamptons. You know, when they're out here, there's all these amazing farms and all this great seafood and all these, I mean, there's
unbelievable
chicken farms. There's, I mean, you name it, they're all around out here. And
yeah,
a lot of people come out here and don't know that, and they just shop it, you know, God bless Citarella, but it's not, you know, it's not exactly, you know, where all the local produce and stuff, and it's not exactly putting all the money right back into the actual area. And I try to, you know, I try to encourage all our chefs to shop at all the farms that they can, especially the ones that are close to the houses. And I try to set up house accounts for all our clients at all different, you know, I have deep relationships with a lot of the farmers out here.
Yeah.
I would love to shout them all out because they're all great.
Well, you've been out there for a long time working now, man. How long have you been working out there?
About 15 years.
Wow. 15 years. And with
restaurants and catering, and then private chefing for about the last 8.
Wow, nice. So listen, I'm going to ask you a kind of a fun question here, because I had something happen to me before I went on vacation last week that was just one of those moments. And listen, they're few and far between, but they do happen. And, you know, especially being a private chef working by yourself, the show has to go on. I'm not sure if you heard me in the open, but I was, long story short, I want to get how you would handle this or what you would deal with the situation. So I went basically and I ended up long story short, I got my hand cut pretty badly in a very weird spot at my client's house. It's her her birthday party. We're cooking food for it's just me, and she's doing this beautiful lobster dinner, of course. So she wants it all lobster. I ended up cutting my hand pretty badly on a tap handle in the basement that completely shattered in my hand when I went to grab it.
Oh, man.
So not only did I break something at our house, but my hand is now literally, like, where my pinky finger reaches the palm of my hand is this giant, deep laceration that bled for 3 hours. So.
Oh, Jesus, bro. Yeah, those days really suck, man, especially because you're all alone. You know?
Yeah.
it's the best part and the worst part of being a private chef, you know, is you don't have to answer to anybody and you can't blame anybody for any of your mistakes. It's really all you. You know, there's no like, oh, I wish so-and-so did this or so-and-so didn't order that. It's just
right,
you.
Right. What I did have on my side chef was that she said the tap handle is tight and it's stuck, so you might have to pull it pretty hard. So she's like,
good.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that I told you that. I'm so sorry. She was very apologetic to me. She didn't know
She didn't realize what a beast you were either, Plum. Jesus.
She didn't realize how badly I cut my hand. But I broke her thing. Obviously, I felt terrible about it. I actually bought a replacement for her. She insisted not to do that. She's a very cool person. But so how do you handle that, brother? What do you do? So at this point now, here I am. My hand's wrapped up tightly, right? I'm squeezing a fist, so I'm not bleeding everywhere. And I still need to take out, you know, take 10 lobsters out of the shell and get dinner.
Yeah. Did you have any? Oh man, yeah. You know, I didn't have to do lobsters out of it. I just burned my hand really, really bad 2 days ago at work. Yeah. Similar, and you got to just grit through it. You know,
right?
You got to wrap it really good. Make sure you're wearing a few gloves. Tourniquet it off the top and just keep changing them as they balloon with blood.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
it sucks, but yeah, man, I've I burned the shit out of my hand. Worst burn I've had in a long time. It was really stupid. It was just the handle kind of happened to, it was off the stove for a while, so one side was ice cold, so when I pulled it and picked it up off the counter, the other side was like literally white hot.
Oh,
burned my hand so bad, and it was like, I'm, you know, making five different types of raviolis with three different sauces, and you for, like, the family dinner, and all the kids are screaming, when's dinner? It's late, Jeff. What's going on? Oh, and I'm just like, ha, 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 ha. And, as you know, I just kept smiling and sweating and apologizing and just, you know, I literally had – all I could do was hold ice cubes wrapped in a towel with one hand and just pull it all off with one hand, you know,
and that's
best I can.
Dude, you're so right. And listen, I don't care how long you've been doing this, you know, it's I've been cooking for 20 years professionally, man, and you're still going to get – it still happens. No matter – it's going to happen at some point, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's only pain. You got to just kind of grit through it. It's like when you focus on it, that's when it really ruins your day. You know, I had a chef a long time ago do that to me. He, like – I burned myself, and I went to whine about it, and he squeezed it and was like, work. And I just remember going, oh, God, yeah, okay. And then I just did it, and then I remember going, wow, that really worked. Mind over matter, man. Awesome. Yeah.
You know, I always say I think it's great for the I want the client to, you know, enjoy the show. I don't really want them to know how we make the show, you know?
That's tough in the fishbowl. You know,
like, I know.
You know, you're right there in the middle of everything and everyone's it's never my clients that are tough, and you know, God bless all their guests, they're all amazing, but every once in a while, you know, it's the guy who comes in and it's just like keeps eating your mise en place and being like, man, those are good. As you're, like, trying to turn them perfect and put them in the bowl for later.
Man,
that's
–
oh, yeah, that's tasty. Oh, thanks, man. Oh, what are these little flowers? Like, oh, these look good. Can I eat these? Oh, these are great. Yeah, no, I didn't, those are all my nasturtium leaves. No, it's cool. Yeah, good. Yeah, peppery, right? Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Oh, have another one. Sure, go ahead. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you just got to roll with it.
You got 10 fingers? Oh, great. You want to keep it? All right.
Yeah.
So talk about how that's different from working out in the Hamptons with clients to maybe working in New York City.
Well, in the Hamptons, you gotta really manage your time a little bit better because it's not as easy as New York City. You know, in New York City, depending on where you are, I guess. I mean, there's some food deserts where it's hard to get stuff, but you know, when you're downtown or someplace, I mean, it's really easy just to run to a Duane Reade or whatever and grab something you might need, you know, or whatever. Out in the Hamptons, sometimes it's like, you know, you go to the farm, you fight through traffic to get to the farm stands and get all the stuff that you really needed for the meal, you know, and the extra stuff that you're trying just to think ahead, just so in case they were like, oh, you don't have a chicken? Or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
And you just kind of roll with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's really about managing time. Like for me in the Hamptons, like when because I work for one client all the time, but I work in the city for in the Hamptons a few days a week. And in the city, I just feel like it's like, I don't know, it's just way more low key. It's so much easier. Like all the food is like right at your fingertips. You know, at least
right.
where I'm at, like I'm like in Chelsea, I can go like, you know, there's like 12 amazing places to get produce and food in that area.
Sure.
I, so it's so much easier for me. It's like all within walking distance. Where here, I'm like in my car for, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day, just jamming back and forth and back and forth, and you just can't forget shit, you know, because you're like, oh my god, I needed blank blank, and you have to like,
yeah,
you know, go back 30 minutes just to go to King Cullen because it's the only place that sells the potato bun that they want for the slider, you know. It's
that's
that kind of a
funny.
Yeah, you know, and using your purveyors as best you can, too, for all that other kind of stuff. Like, I love Fresh Direct and people like that for all my, like, you know, stuff I'm not making, you know, when you're
yeah.
stock in the house. Just, like, taking advantage of all those kind of things and just being organized. And
so one of the things I find interesting about working out there and working with clients out there is that, you know, I try to be very, especially working with clients that I work with, I'm very cost, you know, sensitive to things. And I'm learning now, especially with my newer clients that I have out in Greenwich, it's they don't really care. Like, it's not really about the food cost to them. Like, it's funny, though. You know, like, I feel like it's kind of maybe the same thing out there. People aren't quite as, you know, as worried about how much the food costs. Is that same? Is that kind of true?
Yeah. You know, it really depends on the person. You know, I mean, you pick up a stick. It's not always a stick. You know, it's just every once in a while you grab something that doesn't work out. And I don't know, a lot of people are great like that. Like, a lot of the clients I have are just like, you know, I can think
it's
it up and they're so down to eat it, you know, and it doesn't matter what it costs. They're like not concerned.
Yeah.
Wagyu shell steaks all day, please, you know, whatever, you know, like, you know, and that, and stuff like that, which is great. And then every once in a while, when you're used to doing that, you might get a client and they'll be like, what is all this grass-fed beef? And you're like, what do you mean? That's what I always get for all my clients. They're like, this is outrageous. And you're like, oh, well, maybe
Jesus.
I should have communicated that prior. I think that's the most important thing, too, is just kind of, you know, just making sure people know what you're about, you know, making sure you're clear with your menus and where you're shopping and what you're doing. You know, that's one of the things I try to do with the company is, like, you know, before I set the guys up or grows up into a house, you know, I really try to get to know the client so I know all the stuff. Like, I was going to go there to work so that I can
right.
kind of, like, set somebody up with that information so they're not walking in. I want all of our chefs to be ahead of the curve, you know, to just kind of have that little bit of intuitiveness with their client right off the bat.
Well, it's awesome. You definitely got, I think you're definitely going the right way. Trust me, I've taken that crazy ass test you send, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to charge you hourly for me being on this fucking test. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, hey. It only takes most people an hour and a half. That's what I since you wrote back, I added a little disclaimer on to everyone who takes it. If anyone's listening and who's taking it, I'm sorry. It's just, but it really helps us out. You know, it gives us a real foundation of, a real foundation of just the kind of person you guys are. And I mean, it just asks exhaustive questions and just kind of gives us a little glimpse, and then it gives us me a way to really talk to you and kind of get to know you a little better by those things. Just kind of bring up all those situations and kind of glimpse of who you really are, you know.
Yeah, I'm busting balls out. I think it's actually very smart to do that because, you know, you go into a scenario, you want to make sure you can, like you said, it's all about making the fit, making it work, put the
ball. Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I just always feel bad because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a chef too, and you know, paperwork's not my favorite thing.
You're absolutely right.
So I always apologize to all my brothers and sisters out there. I say, listen, do this. Help me out. Help me help you. Okay, let's just make this happen. And then everyone's done it. No one's given me grief, and it's been great. I appreciate it.
So, dude, where can we find you out on social media and stuff?
Well, I'm at 4 King Chef. The company is JK Chef Collection. We're all over with Facebook page. We have Twitter, JK Chef Collector, JK Chef Collection on Instagram, Google Plus, YouTube. We're all over. We got the blog working. We're gonna start premiering chefs on the you know, we've been building profiles for a lot of the chefs, and so a lot of the people that we really want to just showcase. We're going to put them on the website. We have a lot of, I mean, we have over 40 chefs now that have turned in resumes and been vetted, and that I've spoken to personally that are all really, really amazing people, and I'm really hoping to get them all placed this year. So,
wow, that's a lot of chefs, huh?
Yeah, well, then you know, the cool thing about our company, too, is we're not just placing for the season. You know, I'm like, I'm looking to work with you guys the way you want to be worked with. You know, it's like, hey, I'm free Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays, and, you know, God, you know, something might come along that will fit you, and I'm always holding that, that card, you know. I'm always trying to, like, just make it happen for everybody. It's,
well,
at the end of the day,
man,
it makes me a happy, makes me a happy guy.
And you got some great
Jeff, Julia, Gulia up in the air.
There you go. Look, you got some great pics on your Instagram, man. I highly recommend people check out at Forking Chef on Instagram. You got some great food pics there. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
I appreciate you coming on. I look forward to the summer. I look forward to hanging out, having a cocktail with you at some point, and we'll definitely do this again.
Definitely, man. Thank you for all the love, Chef Plum. I really appreciate it. I look forward to the rest of the show. Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
No doubt, my man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Take care.
Take care, brother. Hey, there he goes. That's my man, Chef Jeff Perazzi, right there, coming on the show, talking about what he's got going on and how things work with JK Collection, hanging out, doing lots of chefs, doing lots of private chef work. It's a great job, man. It can be tough, but it is a great, great gig. I'm going to take a sip of my drink, and we're going to be right back with another guest. That's the action-packed program tonight. We got Chef Kevin Levine, my man, at Chef Scatori, is coming on the show next. We'll be right back, guys. Stay right there.
I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can't find. I need a little, I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? I need to feel my soul come alive. I need to feel the strength to get by. I need a little, I need a little faith. Is that too much to ask for? Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for. Too much to ask for.
My man, Chef Kevin Levine. Let me tell you something about Chef. Chef is one of the most positive, supportive, nicest guys you'll ever meet. And this song, I think, is appropriate for this man because he has faith in everybody that he meets. Chef, how are you tonight, brother?
I'm amazing. How are you doing? Thank you so much for the kind words.
I am good, my man. Listen, I want to you and I – let me just put it out there right away like this. So when I first got involved with Instagram and gotten involved with True Cups, one of the first people that reached out to me was Chef Kevin. He reached out to me, had some very kind words, was very welcoming, just a super, super sweet guy. And for that, man, I really, really appreciate that, for you welcoming me in and you know, and introducing me to people and just being very supportive, man. So for that, thank you. Very, very much. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me on. I mean, seriously. It's funny how, you know, you never know who you're cooking for. You never know who you're going to meet, who you're never going to, you never know, you know, who you're going to need down the road. So, you know what? You might as well be positive.
You are so, so right about that. I have, in my career, being very fortunate for the things I've gotten to do, but it's amazing how many people come back around and you get a chance to talk to them again, or maybe they help you out down the road. You're absolutely right. You just never know what could happen.
Yeah.
It's like that old analogy from the old 80s movies where the real dorky guy gets picked on in high school, then he becomes like the bully's boss as they grow up older or whatever. Fucking Back to the Future. Remember Biff Tannen? He's working with the bully.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they come back, he's like, has to clean the car. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It took me forever to get there, but you know what I was talking about.
Great movie.
Hell yeah. Dude, Skittores, tell me the story. How did it happen? How did we get there? What's going on?
Oh, man. April 4th, actually, we just hit 8 years.
Wow.
Basically, long story real short, my wife's in-laws were in retirement, and they came to us and said, would you guys like to open up a restaurant? And we're like, fuck yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely. So we opened up 8 years ago. Everything's fresh, made to order. Dude, we don't even have a POS system. Everything's old school.
No way.
Handwritten checks, two-sided, one pizzeria side, one Italian side. And, 8 years later, we've won Best Pizza on the Beach numerous of years, Best Italian, Chef of the Year. We're very active in the community. Right now I'm actually working with the Chamber of Commerce to, you know, boost tourism here on the beach. And it's just absolutely amazing. It really is. You know, I'm living life to the fullest right now.
Excellent, man. And congratulations on that. And listen, any restaurant staying around for 8 years, that's amazing. I mean, that is completely and totally amazing. And then you guys are doing a great job over there. And, I mean, you're packed almost every night, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's so awesome. I mean, I thank God every day. You know, we're blessed. We have phenomenal, phenomenal employees. My sous chef has been with us for now 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, our guests, it's crazy because the longer we're open, you know, you see those babies that come in now are 8 years old. You see the 14 and 13 year olds coming in driving by themselves to pick up food. I mean, it's crazy.
That's insane,
man. On the flip side, though, because we've been open so long and the relationships that we've formed, you know, some of our clientele is older, so you see some of them pass.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it really hits you in the heart because we try to make every guest that comes in the building feel at home, and we have relationships with them, and we get to know them, and you know, we actually go out with a lot of them, and I mean, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
You know, just in talking to you, you know, over the past amount of time, and especially right now talking to you, like it really, I mean, you can hear the passion in your voice, even just talking about your clientele, man. And to me, that's incredibly admirable. I mean, in a business where it's not always the nicest of places. It's not always, you know, the greatest of people. You've got a great scenario there. And, you know, I talk about this business being like a broken band of pirates, you know, but incredibly, incredibly loyal people. But you are one of those that you just have such a passion, such a positive vibe behind it that, you know, I can imagine that even just being in your kitchen is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's funny because like Chef Jeff just said in your prior guest, you know,
great guy.
You got to cook from your heart. And it is so true. Have fun, man, because if you don't, you know, you can put so many emotions into your food. And, dude, we're all in the kitchen. We're all in 100-degree weather, you know, climate in the kitchen. And, you know, there's attitudes throwing and, have fun and, you know, and put that love what you do because, you know what, you only have one chance to make that first impression and just have fun. And I so agreed when I was listening to what he was saying. I'm definitely going to be reaching out to him. I mean, he just sounded so awesome.
Yeah, that guy is awesome. He's a great guy. He and I have talked a number of times, and a lot of respect for that guy. He has definitely paid his dues. He's been around the block for a little bit, but he's still a very positive, super, super great guy. All right, listen, dude. I got to bust your balls a little bit. All right? I got to bust your balls a little bit. Brother, what's up with the balsamic fucking reduction? Listen to me, ready? And I mean
I know,
as possible.
Right, so,
1999 called. They were wondering if you would mail the vinegar reduction back to them.
I should have stock in balsamic. Dude, we go through so much balsamic. All right, so here's the story behind the balsamic reduction. When we are opening up, we have a salad. It's the gorgonzola salad. And the drizzle, I take a 50-year-old balsamic vinegar. It simmers for about 5.5 hours. It reduces. No other ingredients added. And I tasted it. This is now 8 years ago. I tasted it, and it was this most amazing sugary balsamic flavor that I've ever had in my life. And it looked so sexy on a plate because the dark black on the white. And it just stuck. And the crazy thing is, you know, you're right. I put it on frickin' everything.
Yeah.
And I have guests say, can we get a 2-ounce ramekin of that? I'm thinking to myself, shit, that frickin' cost like $4 for that ramekin.
Right.
I'm like, it's ridiculous how much these people love this balsamic reduction.
Well, I mean,
but
listen, man.
No, I use it. I mean... I use it, and it's funny because I try go through my spurts, and I try to do different presentations, and I always go back to that fucking reduction.
Well, dude, I got to be honest with you. It's funny because you hear a story like that, though, and it's hard to argue, man. If you got guests who are loving it in a successful restaurant, I mean, fuck it. I mean, what are you going to say? Like, hey, man, don't do what your guests like. You can't say that. It doesn't make any sense, so. So good for you, man. Good for you. I think that's awesome, man. I mean, like I said, every time I see your plates, I'm like, oh, there it goes, that balsamic. There it is.
And it's funny because I even try now. I take a paintbrush and brush it on now. Oh, God. It's everywhere. And the crappy thing is, like, man, if it gets on your fingers when you're slammed, and it's just like, oh, shit.
Dude, that is freaking hysterical, man. So listen, talk to me a little bit about, so one of the things that I met you through was True Cooks. And we don't have to make a big deal about it and get into it or whatever, but you know, you were a big supporter, and then all of a sudden one day you weren't. What's the story behind it?
You know, and it's not even the fact that I'm not a supporter anymore, because I do support True Cooks 100%. What Chad started, you know, to bring the camaraderie together of meeting chefs and
sure.
and other people in the industry, absolutely freaking hands down, you know, props to him. I mean, I think it's absolutely amazing, group of people together. To be honest with you, I just grew. And, you know, it just that the hashtags changed and, you know, where I wanted to take myself changed. To be honest with you, it just changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, that's the way it goes. You know, listen, if we don't ever change, we become boring, right?
Yeah. And it's not the fact that I don't support him anymore. Cause, you know, like 60% of my followers, you know, and who I'm following still tag 100% True Cooks. And I comment I comment all the time. So, I mean, it's, you know, where I was going and where I'm at and where I want to go, I wanted to focus, you know, on some different things.
Right. So you've been cooking for a long time, man. What got you into working with food and how long have you been doing it now?
I wandered into my aunt and uncle's pizzeria when I was 9 years old. I stood on a milk crate watching my uncle cook, and I knew – at 9 years old, that's why I was born. I lucked out. I didn't have to go through any thought process of where I was going to go to school. What am I going to be when I grow up? I knew I wanted to be a chef.
Did you go to school?
So I've been cooking. I went to Johnson & Wales.
Okay, right on.
I was a first class of Miami, Florida. So I lived it up down in South Beach quite a many nights.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, my God.
So you pretty
another,
much ever
that's
since.
That's another whole episode.
I love a little Miami Beach, man. Nothing wrong with that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you went to Johnson and Wales. Sorry, I gotta be honest. I'm moving my computer around so I can grab a. I had to make myself another cocktail here because I'm not drinking beer. I'm not sure if you heard the first part of it, which is crazy for me.
Yeah.
Trying to get back my Adonis-like figure, chef. That's what I'm working on.
I'm working on that. I went from regular Red Bull to sugar-free Red Bull.
Ah, okay. There you go. Sugar-free Red Bull. what kind of places have you worked in, though? So you've done other things. Where else have you been working?
Oh, yeah. I've worked everywhere from McDonald's all the way up to the Ritz-Carlton Corporations. Emeril Lagasse, worked for him. SeaWorld, Disney World, Aramark Corporation, some chains, Ruby Tuesday. I've been literally, Subway. Making sandwiches when I was younger.
You were a sandwich artist.
I was. Well, that was actually before the sandwich artist. I was just this was in the mid 90s, early 90s.
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
I don't even think they were called sandwich artists back then. But the whole kit and caboodle, I wanted to do it all.
Nice. So Emeril Lagasse, great guy, super sweet guy. How was it working with him? Did you work with him down in Louisiana or was it in Florida?
I opened his restaurant in Orlando.
Nice.
Absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing guy.
Hold on a second. So at City Walk?
At City Walk.
What year was that?
96. I think they opened in 96 or 97. Okay.
All right, so it's after my time. It was before my time when I was there. That's funny because I was in City Walk all the time. I lived in Florida for a while, so just interesting.
I was at the Dolphin Resort.
Nice, nice. And so how'd you end up in Myrtle Beach? How'd that happen?
Myrtle Beach, vacationing here for years after I met Stephanie. She's from New Jersey, and her parents had property here. So right before we moved here, we were both with Aramark.
Right.
We ran Contract Foods, School Supports in North Carolina.
Not a bad gig, actually, to be honest with you. It's one of those things I find these companies are, I'm a graduate from CIA. These guys, when I was graduating culinary school way back when, these corporate people were attacking these culinary graduates, and they offered a reasonable work schedule and a pretty good salary, and for these guys coming out of culinary school, it was great. I mean, people were like, wow, this is insane. Did you find that kind of the same idea for you?
Oh, 100%. We worked Monday through Friday.
Unbelievable.
From 6 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We had weekends off. Pay was phenomenal. I mean, it was literally Aramark takes really good care. You can get phenomenal schedules. You learn a lot. I mean, Aramark's a really good company.
But not a lot of creativity, right?
Yes and no, depending on what division you're in. With school supports, we actually took – it's funny because we were doing just day-to-day menus for the schools. But yet we took the account and started a off-premise catering company through Aramark. So we were doing catering for a lot of the teachers and the board members. And I got to play. I did filet mignons. And, I got to actually play with food. And that's one thing, depending on what division you're in, there can be a lot of creativity. And it's a misnomer. People think, you work in the schools, all you're doing is this and this and this, or you work in a college. I mean, you take the business division, you go to a large corporation that Aramark runs in business dining. I mean, they're doing scratch cooking 100%. And there's some really good food out there in school supports and business dining. And, even in some of the stadiums, Aramark runs a lot of stadiums. And I mean, a lot of it is scratch cooking.
And it's a tough job to beat that. You know, that's why I was talking about, you know, for a little while there, you saw kind of a decline in actual culinary students working in restaurants, and because these guys were attacking these graduates, man, just trying to pull them into their companies, and you know they'd present this package to you, and you know next thing you know you're working a banker's hours basically and getting paid good money, and you're like, what the fuck? Where's this is insane. Had to find it kind of hard to go from that back into doing the restaurants. It was got to be kind of a little bit of a change for you, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a change. It was definitely a change. You know, the TV schedule changed. so I went from watching it on TV to DVRing it and watching it at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a little different. It's your eating habits totally changed.
Yeah.
It's different. It really is. But you know what? I really missed it towards the end of it. I missed the restaurant hours and the restaurant, you know, day to day operation. So
yeah,
it's nice to have that back.
Having that shock from going back to, you know, and going back to working, you know, the restaurant hours and living that lifestyle. And it's a tough one to be in. And, you know, I did it for a long, long time. And then I had the private chef bug bite me, which has definitely changed my shit up a little bit. And, you know, it's still kind of working those little bit different type of hours, but not as bad. You know, I'm not working until, you know, well, I'm doing private gigs. You work a little bit later, of course. But, like, you know, for my everyday client, you know, you don't work late at night. And it's not a bad scenario for you. So, and you get paid
well.
It's hard to believe that.
I think our boys have it good because we're year-round, 9 o'clock at night. We close at 9 o'clock year-round. So for them to have – when we opened up, we do majority of our business by 8:30. Even during the summer, because of where we're located on the beach.
Right.
And you know what? We're like, let's let our employees have a life, because 98% of the business out there, you are cooking till, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, cleaning 2 o'clock in the morning, and there is no life. So, I mean, I think it's great that, I mean, we're done. We're 11 to 9, 7 days a week. You know, they have a life, and we have a life, you know?
So are you getting time off for yourself now? Are you getting to be able to take a day off during the week for yourself, even though the restaurant's open?
Yeah, we take off Mondays from the restaurant, but now I have my hot block. So I'm typically in the shop from Mondays, all day Mondays now, so no day off. But we typically take off Mondays. My Sue basically runs the show. Really good kid.
Very capable of doing it, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. When we go away, I mean, I feel very confident 100% that, you know, he'll make the guests extremely happy. He does, you know, the ordering. He does it all.
That's great, man, especially to have someone like that, man. That's really, really great. You know, my sous chef is a guy who's been with me for about 4 years now and recently became my sous chef because my other guy moved on, and this kid, he came from working in a fish department in a grocery store to working with me, and now he's just had the bug bite him. He loves to cook food. He's all in. He reads cookbooks, and he's just all – it's great to see that growth, isn't it? It's just really cool to see someone grow like that.
No, it really is.
So you mentioned Hot Blocks a minute ago. Obviously, it was a great segue into it, man. Yeah, you're making some amazing cutting boards. Tell us about them.
Thank you. Well, it's kind of a funny story because about five months ago.
I'll decide if it's funny. I have the microphone.
What's that?
I'll decide if it's funny.
No, you're going to think this is funny.
I'm kidding.
Basically, I'm telling you, like, I'm not a handyman whatsoever. Five months ago, I basically went to my wife, said, I'm going to build a cutting board, and she laughed her ass off.
Okay.
You tell me to fix an oven or a fryer. Or a heat lamp or anything in the kitchen, I can have it fixed. I can do it myself. You know, I know the ins and the outs of the mechanical end of the kitchen.
Sure.
Well, in my home life, forget about it. You tell me to change a hinge on a door, yeah, I call my father-in-law.
No, oh,
I'm not a handyman whatsoever.
Right.
So she laughed when I said I want to make a cutting board, and she said, why do you want to make a fucking cutting board? I said, I'm tired of using crappy cutting boards. You know, DHEC always says something about the poly cutting boards, wood cutting boards out there are absolutely, you know, they suck because you got to do this, you got to do that. So I'm like, I'm going to make one. She's like, whatever. So it was a drop subject.
Sure.
So when she went to bed, I watched YouTube videos for weeks and weeks and weeks doing all this research on wood and how to produce cutting boards. So here in the garage at the house, I slowly started to build a cutting board. I went to Lowe's Home Improvement. I went to Home Depot, took out credit cards, bought some small tools, and I made my first cutting board. And she's like, holy shit. So I
wow.
made it. I posted on Instagram, started getting comments. Like, oh, chef, can you make me one? I'm like, holy shit. Like, wow. So I made a few more. And, you know, we started talking. We were like, oh, my God, we could probably make this into a business. Extremely profitable. Yeah, it takes a lot of time. But we started Hoplox Cutting Boards. We went live about 3 months ago. And we're in 4 countries and 31 states
That's amazing, man. And it takes a lot of time to make these boards, right? Because you're using all different types of wood.
Oh, yeah. No, I leave the restaurant at 10 o'clock. I'll come home, shower, hang out with my pup and my kitties. And I'll go back. I'll go to the shop. Like, actually, I'm no longer building in the garage. We now have a thousand square foot warehouse.
Wow.
So I'll leave the house, go to the warehouse like around 11. And I'm there until sometimes 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and then get up and go to Scutori's at 8.
Damn, dude.
It's a lot of work, but I mean,
that's a hell of a work, man. But I mean, it's got to be very rewarding, too. I mean, listen, you're in the shop working, but obviously you got your music on, you're jamming, and you're creating something. Because I think as chefs, that's one of the things we love the most. We love to create stuff. We have such a... You know, we love the immediate gratification of once we've created something, there it is. You can see it, and you can get people's reactions.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. And it's totally different than being in the kitchen. Like you said, I turn on the music, you know, and I'm looking at this wood, you know, and I look at it. It's so funny. I look at it like an empty plate. I'm like, okay, how am I going to design this one? And it's funny because – now I have customers that say, chef, just design a board for me. I'm like, what do you mean just design? Just design a board. I want it 14 by 18 inches or whatever inches, whatever size they want. And they don't care what kind of edging, what kind of, you know, finish I put on it. They're like, just design, do what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome because it is playing with the wood and it is designing, you know, and it's so relaxing. I mean, there's no stress at all. You know, I might get a little stressed out a little bit when I have like 30 boards on order, but the way my timing is, you know, it's so awesome. And, you know, I feel very privileged, that, you know, it's taken off the way it has. And I feel absolutely amazing about that. I feel so good about that. To be able to provide a cutting board, you know, to somebody that is built for them. The good thing about our boards is we engrave our boards. So if you have a logo or I don't think he's listening tonight, so I can actually say it. I have a customer who's going to be proposing to his girlfriend, and she is a home cook. They have 2 kids. And I'm actually putting "Will You Marry Me" on the cutting board, and they're gonna do dinner, and she's gonna cook, and she's gonna grab the board, and she's gonna look at it and be like, "Holy shit, will you marry me?" And it's
gonna
be a 100% usable American cherry cutting board that I'm providing them.
Man, that's amazing. What a great story that is. You got to tell him to fucking video that stuff, of course, when he first pulls it out.
Yeah, no, he's going to. He said he was going to video it.
It's going to be hysterical. He's going to pull it out and not even notice it at first. She'll be cooking for half an hour before she even freaking notices it.
Or she'll lay all the vegetables all over it.
Yeah. And he's just standing there looking at her. She's like, what are you looking at?
That is so funny.
That's awesome, dude. So
oh my God.
When you make – boards, man, because it's really, I know it sounds weird, but making cutting boards is very interesting to me. I've never done it. It sounds awesome. And it's really cool that we live in a time now where you can take and look at YouTube and really learn a skill from doing that. Because I do that shit all the time. If I want to learn something, I go to YouTube right away and look it up. I mean, what an incredible way. It's amazing. So when it comes to these boards, is there some kind of regulations behind it? Does it have to be like FDA approved, or how does that work? And like when you make one of these boards, how long does it take you to make like a standard cutting board, like maybe your economy board from start to finish?
Basically, there's to be commercial wise, there really if you just want to make a cutting board, you can use any kind of wood glue. But we decided when we actually did open up, we wanted to gear for the professional chef and the avid home cook. So we actually use USDA approved food safe glues. I actually combined three and built my own glue, all USDA approved. Also the mineral oils, we don't use any lacquers. We don't use any coatings. We use strictly USDA-approved food-safe mineral oils. And we're DHEC-approved, Board of Health-approved. When there's standards out there, when you're seeing a board in retail for commercial use, yes, there are definitely standards. And we follow all of those guidelines. Now, to produce a board, it honestly depends on how many boards are on order right now. Like right now, I'm about 3 weeks production time, start to finish.
Wow.
If I need to have one done, I could probably have one done in 5 days.
Okay.
But I typically, and I'm actually spoiling my boards more than others, I believe. I mean, like my finishing, I'm doing a four-part finish. I condition the board with wood conditioner, and then I do three more oils. So, I mean, it's 100% ready to be used when you get it in your hands.
Man, that's amazing. And they are absolutely beautiful, man. You really are taking it to another level with these things. They look fantastic. I'm going to place an order for one here
very soon
for myself, no doubt. So tell everybody how they can get them and how they can find more information about them and where can we find out. Like, if you want to get a board, how do we do that?
Absolutely. Right now, we do have a website. It's www.hotblockscuttingboards.com.
Just FYI, a lot for the future. But you don't need to say www.
What's that?
Anymore. Just for the future reference stuff. You don't need to say that.
Gotcha.
Everybody knows the www part.
That's a hurt. And that's true. And you, now
come on,
you
Grandpa.
All you gotta do is type it in www.herd. Hotblockscuttingboards.com. We're on Facebook, Hotblocks Cutting Boards. We're on Instagram at Hotblocks. Also, Chef Scatori's on Instagram. And my phone number. Like right now, there's no buy now on our website. I'd like to actually take phone calls. Because I want to get to know our customer. I want to know what kind of knives they use. I want to help them build their board. That's going to last them forever.
Sure.
So basically my phone number, 843-424-5335. Just call me up or text me, and we'll talk about wood.
I didn't know it was sexy time.
It's funny. I got to tell you, just saying that, Our local newspaper did an article on Hotblocks, and they titled it "Wood on the Rise."
Nice.
It actually got a lot. It was hilarious. Like people were talking about, like, why are they saying "wood on the rise"? That is like so. You don't talk about that. I'm like, what do you mean? It wood is coming back. Wood is on the rise.
That's right. I got a chub right now. I mean, and obviously you got that shit framed in the restaurant. That's a hysterical headline. And you got a pretty sweet deal. If anybody's checking the show out tonight and they want to get in touch with you and get a new board or got something going on, you got a pretty sweet deal for them, don't you?
Yes, I do. And we actually have two deals. Anybody listening to the show, we're offering free engraving and free shipping.
Wow.
That could be a savings. And we ship worldwide. So, I mean, you could save up to $200-$250 just on shipping and engraving, depending on the size of your board. Also, we're doing buy one, get one 50%. So if you want one for your restaurant and want one for your house, buy one, get one 50%. But now you can't combine the two. Just make sure you call me and say, hey, listen, I heard it on Plum Loves Food, and you're hooked up.
Man, that's amazing, man. What a great deal you got going on there. So make sure you check that out. If you're looking to get a new cutting board, you want to get down with Hot Blocks. And by the way, all those Hot Blocks have two X's in them. It's B-L-O-X-X. Get in touch with the chef there and tell him you heard us on the show. You love the stories, and you get a sweet deal right there, right then and there, man. So that's awesome. So,
absolutely.
Man, congratulations on that business. So that's fantastic. So
check
it out.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to bust your balls again. You ready? It hadn't been too bad, right? I haven't bust your balls that much, have I?
No, you haven't. You haven't. I'm ready. I'm ready.
So you just had your first Food Network spot. Congratulations on that. You were promoting machine. You were a promoting motherfucker, and then you lost.
You don't promote
a loss, dude.
Dude, but you know what? Plum, listen. I didn't lose. I lost my episode, okay? See, a lot of people don't know about me. I'm very business-oriented as well.
Mm-hmm.
The business that we have gotten at Scutori's and Hot Blocks, and even myself, through the Food Network on promoting the show, is ridiculous.
Well,
we're the winners.
Yeah. Like I said, Chef, I was busting your balls, but that's actually where I was going to go next with it. So,
I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm telling you.
Well, I think you already are winning, to be honest with you. Listen, I'm one to talk. I lost on my episode of a fucking Cutthroat also. But, you know, same thing. It's an hour show, and half an hour to 40 minutes of it is all me making fucking dick jokes the entire show. It's hysterical. It's all I'm doing is making, because all I'm trying to do the entire time, and this was my ninth Food Network appearance, was I'm just trying to pop the crew, the guys behind the camera. I'm just trying to make those guys laugh. That's all I did the entire time I was there. And it was ridiculous.
It was so much fun. I mean, I didn't even remember taking the bowling ball and smashing my chocolate, because it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And all the lights and the cameras. So it's like, you don't remember. And I taped 7 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like when I watched it, I was like, oh, my God.
Well, here's the funny part. I've talked about this with some other guys who've been on the show. My friend, Chef Kyle Schutte, he's the only chef to ever do Cutthroat, didn't spend a dime and won. He won $25,000. But the funny part about this, when you win a show on Food Network, like I won Guys Grocery Games, Chopped, a bunch of these shows. But when you win them, you get very excited. You call your family. Oh, it's amazing. We won. We can't talk a lot about it, but, you know, you can obviously expect you to tell your wife and whatnot. But then, brother, you don't get your money for like 8 months. They want you to get hit by a bus. They don't pay you till after. They pay you, like, they say it can take 90 days after your show airs. And you know, because if you recorded that shit 7 months ago, I mean, you're talking 10 months before you get your check. It's fucking crazy, bro.
That is hilarious. I want to be back on so bad. I love the camera.
Yeah,
I want to be on Chopped, because I know that Chopped and Cutthroat. I went into Cutthroat knowing and feeling that it's an entertainment show.
Of course.
Yes, you got to cook, but it's an entertainment show. Really want to be on Chopped, because it truly is about food and about production and about thought process. Creativity. That's what I really want to be on Chopped.
So the difficult part is I'm very, very tight with Beth Schiff. And Beth Schiff, Chopped is her show. And if you can actually go back and check out the episodes here, I've actually had her on this very program talking about that. And they are pretty adamant. If you've done a Food Network show in the past like 3 or 4 years, they won't take you. They want new talent.
Yeah.
So generally,
new talent.
The order you want to do things, and no one tells you this shit. You don't learn until after the fucking fact. Trust me, I learned after the fact myself. But Chopped is the one you want to do first. Because once you do one of the other ones, you can't do Chopped. She just won't take you. She won't even look at you. Like, you'll apply, and your application is great, and one of the PAs that work for her will bring the application. They may even call you to talk to you. But the second you tell them you've done Food Network, they throw you aside. They want nothing to do with you. It's crazy.
Yeah, they want new talent.
So it's kind of a shame. But, you know, one of the ones that I think you might have a lot of fun with, there's no real prize. Beat Bobby Flay is a fun show, and you should check that one out. So I think you have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah,
and you can come to New York.
What's that?
And you get to come to New York, so you can buy me a beer.
Oh, absolutely. Buy a couple beers.
There you go.
No, we're going to do cocktails.
That's right. We're doing cocktails. We're having sugar-free Red Bull and cocktails. That's right. But, yeah, you had a great showing, man. It was awesome on there. And like I said, it's all about just having a good showing. And, you know, if anybody's going to take something like that and spin it positive, it's definitely going to be you. And what you've done with it in a very smart way is you take those things and you use it to promote your business. And you do things like local TV, because that shit, you know, I tell everybody, I have chefs on here all the time who ask me, Chef, what should I do? How should I try to advance myself? I had Chef Hassan Mosalmini on here. He's on Hell's Kitchen this past season. And he's asking me, what do I do? And I'm like, brother, you got to go do your local TV, because you can't beat that, man. You go do it, and, you know.
You can't.
That shit's around forever, and you have that.
You can't beat it. And it's crazy, because the publicity that we have gotten, I mean, we wouldn't be able to afford it. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Absolutely,
I mean,
right.
I just took a trip this past Wednesday to Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta.
The Chamber of Commerce flew me down Wednesday night, made an appearance at a gala at the Georgia Aquarium. It was their 10th year anniversary. Then Thursday morning, I cooked on Fox 5, and
beautiful.
They flew me home just to represent Myrtle Beach because of being on Cutthroat.
And see, and not only that, though, it's that you've shown yourself even on local television to be able to do those things and shown that you can do it. Listen, if you can talk and cook food, you don't even have to be great at either one of them, to be completely honest with you. But if you can do them at the same time and be entertaining, dude, you're good. People want to have you. They want to see you. They want to watch you. And that's what it's all about. That's how you promote yourself.
Yeah. And it's not even about it's about promoting yourself, but it's also like – we have here in Myrtle Beach, I don't, if anybody's been here, we have 2,300 restaurants. From, like, I would say probably like an 11-mile stretch.
Wow.
So there's a lot of restaurants. And there's so much freaking talent here. And when someone in the food industry and a foodie thinks of South Carolina, the first place they think of is Charleston. Because Charleston, South Carolina, truly is a food city.
Can we pause real quick, Chef?
Yeah, absolutely.
Charleston's a badass city, dude. I love that city so much. It's one of my favorite places in the country. And one of the chefs that I had the privilege of interning under for a while, Sean Brock, actually, one of his restaurants, Husk, is there, which is, you know, obviously one of the top restaurants in the country. On that city itself, man, if I could pick a place to move, that might be the one. But I got a feeling you're going to talk me into Myrtle Beach right now, so let's hear it.
It is. Myrtle Beach has so much talent, and we're hidden. And one of my focuses right now, like I said, I'm working with the Chamber of Commerce because we want people in the country to come to Myrtle Beach for food. Not just for the beach.
Right.
And the talent here, the difference between Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Charleston. Charleston, phenomenal food, but 90% of it is low country cuisine.
Yes, it is.
And Myrtle Beach is so eclectic, from Italian to Japanese to French to Southern to Caribbean. I mean, there's just so many different cuisines here on the beach. So a foodie can come to Myrtle Beach and have five different cuisines in their vacation here. And like I said, I'm working with the Chamber because, you know, I want people to come to Myrtle Beach for food, not just for the beach, because we have gorgeous beach. We have 60 miles of
beautiful
beach.
It's beautiful beach down there. And you have great fishing too, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal. Myrtle Beach, and we have Myrtle's Inlet that's, you know, fish friendly, seafood friendly. You can the seafood you can get right off the boats is just absolutely amazing. And I truly feel in the next couple years, you know, hopefully we'll get a boost when it comes to to food.
Well, the next time
and
I come
we have all the farms.
That's true.
South
yeah.
Carolina has so many farms, fresh vegetables. It's awesome.
And you have great weather, which is fantastic. You know, I mean, it's South Carolina's a great place, man. But I tell you what, them pralines in Charleston, bro, it's hard to beat those dudes.
Oh, I know. It's awesome down there. It really is.
That's good stuff. Dude, this has been a really fun conversation hanging out with you, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight and promote and talk about what's going on with you and just, you know, just being cool and being honest. And that's what it's about, man. I appreciate the honesty. And it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I'm going to hit you with my last few questions if you got a couple more minutes for my show.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, so check it out. So food obviously being of an important thing, you know, was there one dish you had growing up, one thing that you ate that made you realize, you kind of told the story already, but was it a certain thing you ate, or was it that moment when you stood in your uncle's restaurant watching him, you know, toss pies and working on the line and making food? Was that the moment that made you realize food is a real thing? Food's an important thing. Food's something that can evoke emotions.
I don't know if it was walking into the kitchen at 9 or if it was my mom cooking every single night, Monday through Friday for us. But I know somewhere probably around 10, you know, going to Ocean City, Maryland, during the summer and going to the boardwalk. This is a crazy story, but going to the boardwalk and there's a place called Thrasher's French Fries.
Okay.
And which is hardcore fast food, junk food. And Thrasher's French Fries, boardwalk fries. I remember eating those fries around 10 years old, thinking how fresh these potatoes were, these French fries were, and the feeling I got when I ate them. And I knew, I don't know. I guess I had a calling. You know, I truly believe that everybody's put on this earth for a reason. And it's crazy because, you know, the movie Chef, it's not every day that I have the opportunity to touch people's lives with what I do. You know what? I thank God every single day. I touch people's lives with my food. And I really think that those Thrasher's French fries touched my life.
Man, that's amazing. It's how food can have such an impact and such a memory, I'll bet. You know, even you can still kind of remember what they smell like, which is just crazy that we can do that with our
brand. I haven't been back in years, but I still haven't found fries. Fries is my go-to. Fries and cheesesteaks are my go-to fast food.
Nothing wrong with that at all, man. Nothing wrong with that. How about cocktails? Was there ever a cocktail or a drink that made you kind of have the same emotion?
Cocktail.
Or beer, whatever.
Let me think about that one. That's a tough one. Not really. I guess at Emeralds, they used to call me Vino because I worked, my last name being Levine, and I worked the food bar quite often, and people would buy me wines. So
Beautiful. Wine,
I did get to try a Chateau Rothschild, which was absolutely amazing.
Great wine.
More on the food end of it than the cocktails and beverages.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're definitely seeing a time right now happen where, you know, people who make drinks aren't just bartenders anymore. We're seeing more mixologists, more people who are doing it as a career, and seeing some really, really cool things coming out with cocktails. Man, I make an unbelievable smoked margarita that I love to make for some time. I think you'd totally dig it. Because for me, I mean, if I could smoke it, it's awesome. So that's the idea.
And so you've had, dude,
you've had amazing success. With everything you've got going on, and social media has been amazing for you, and just everything that's happened, you bust your ass, you've been all over the place working. As you're well aware of, we have a lot of young people who check this show out. What would be the biggest piece of advice you'd give a young culinarian coming up, my man?
Definitely. Best advice I would give, cook from the heart. You know, put your emotions into it. Love what you do. Ask a lot of questions. Because you know what, you never know how long your stay is going to be where you're at. You don't want to think back, oh my God, I remember that dish, it was so good, but I don't remember how to make it. ask a lot of questions. You know, show that you're interested. Show that you have a sense of urgency. And don't burn bridges. That's going to be my number one. Don't burn bridges because you never know who you're going to work for, who's going to work for you down the road.
Man,
and, you know, form those connections and, you know, be humble. And somebody's always better than you out there. Somebody's better than me out there.
Right.
And, you know, show the interest. That's the biggest thing.
Didn't we start this whole conversation off talking about Back to the Future and how that shit happens? What a way to bring
I mean,
it all right back, Chef. What a great way to circle right back around to where we started. You brought everybody right back home.
McFly.
Nice job.
McFly.
There you go. And, dude, tell them one more time already where we can find you. Obviously, I mean, everybody on the planet follows you on Instagram at Chef Scatori's. You can't not find the guy there. But and checking out, of course, Hot Blocks with two X's. You know, check that out there. And either wherever else can we find you? I mean, Jesus Christ, you gave your phone number out. So, I mean, you can find it right there, too.
Yeah, hotblockscuttingboards.com, Hotblocks on Instagram, Hotblockscuttingboards on Facebook, Chef Scatori's on Instagram, Chef Scatori's on Twitter. I actually just started Tumblr yesterday at Chef Scatori's. 843-424-5335 is my cell phone. If it's between the hours of 11 and 9 at night, you can call me at the restaurant. At Scatori's, 843-650-3370. I'm open. I mean, if anybody even wants to talk about food or, you know, anything, I'm always here to listen.
Well, there you have it. And listen, I can't tag that any more than Kevin's one of the most supportive, nicest, just amazingly supportive people I've ever talked to, positive people I've talked to. Just, you know, these are the people I like to have in my lives, and I think other chefs would appreciate having a guy like this in their life, even just for a phone call, man. Bro, I appreciate your time this evening, taking the time to come on and hang out and talk, and it's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to chatting with you down the road.
Definitely, and thank you so much, Bum. Seriously, this was absolutely awesome.
Dude, you're the man, and I'll be in touch soon, all right, my man?
Sounds good.
There it is. All right, brother. I'll holler at you soon. Take care.
All right. Have a good night. Thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Hey, there he goes. That's my man, Chef Kevin Levine at Chef Scatori's. What a great guy, man. Boy, the show ran a little long tonight, so I got to wrap this shit up quick. Check it out, everybody. Coming up this weekend, that's right, the Bacon and Beer Classic is happening out at Citi Field. If you're in the tri-state area, I cannot emphasize enough how cool of an event this is. You have to check it out. We're talking hundreds of vendors, whether it's beer, everything made with food. We've got celebrity chefs, everything happening out at Citi Field. VIP tickets are so much fun. You can go out onto the field and hang out and taste so much stuff. They're doing a bunch of different sessions out there. You got a session Friday night, a session Saturday afternoon, and a session Saturday night. And guess what? This very program, we are going to be there Saturday night. Me and the Adonis-like Red Leader himself, we're going to be there hanging out, recording some audio, maybe even going live. We're not totally sure yet. But make sure you check us out if you see us. And listen, if you want to go ahead down to baconandbeerclassic.com. Use promo code PLUM. That's right, PLUM, my name, P-L-U-M, and get yourself a nice discounted ticket to come check it out. Listen, I get no throwbacks from these guys. They're just cool people. It's a fantastic event, and they gave me a promo code for anybody who wants to go. I know a couple people have used it, so I'm looking forward to seeing you. And if we see you out there, if you see me out there, come say what's up, man, because I'll talk to anybody. I love hanging out. It's such a great event. So make sure you check that out. The Bacon and Beer Classic is happening this weekend. Big shout-out to my guest this evening, my man, Chef Jeff Perazzi, coming on and talking about private chef work, hanging out in the Hamptons, and, you know, just what that all entails. So much cool stuff going on with that. So make sure you check him out at jkchefcollection.com. That's jkchefcollection.com. What a great guy. Incredibly likable. Just a nice dude and a great chef himself. And check him out at Forking Chef on Instagram and on them Twitters. And a giant thanks to one of the coolest guys you'll meet at Chef Kevin Levine at Chef Scatori's. What a nice guy. What a supportive guy. And literally, that's all you could ask for in this day and age is someone who will just be positive and be supportive. And he's a guy you can call on anytime you want and just hang out and he'll talk. And, you know, he loves talking food. So give him a shout and definitely check out hotblocks.com. I'm not going to give the man's phone number out over the air. That's a little bit nutty. But
That's what he wants to do, and that's how he wants you to get in touch with him. So do it. And I appreciate what he wants to do with that, because what a better way to learn about your customers and learn about what they're looking for with their cutting boards. And those boards look unbelievable. I did all that in one breath. How about that? That's fucking crazy. Check it out, everybody. Our next show is going to be the Bacon and Beer Classic. I'm not sure if we're going to go live Saturday night. We might do a little special show Saturday night, but we'll do some recorded audio for next Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's my favorite event ever. If you haven't checked it out yet, of course, please go to my Facebook page at Chef Plum on Facebook and check out the brand new Edible Nutmeg video where we are hanging out with Copps Island oysters. I went oyster fishing. It was a lot of fun. We made a delicious grilled lobster dish using a rum and green chili compound butter. You can find that recipe on ediblenutmeg.com. I think that's all the plugs I got, y'all. There's so much shit going on. It's going to be an exciting summer. I can't wait to share it with you and do it live over this very program. I can't thank you enough for your support, for checking out this show. It's incredibly humbling. It's just so much fun. I love doing it on Monday nights. So please, if you do have to check us out after the fact live or maybe on iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe. It makes all the difference in the world in the algorithm. And let's get ourselves up there. Let's get ranked up there. That'd be awesome to get this very program ranked. In the meantime, and in between time, my name is Chef Plum, and I had to catch a breath. You see that? I choked there for a minute. Let's try it again. My name is Chef Plum, and you've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, the number one digital audio live food broadcast on Monday nights. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll catch you guys possibly Saturday night for a super secret show of the Bacon and Beer Classic, but for sure, next Monday. Take care, y'all. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.